Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
In a world economy which is decarbonising, how do you define a green job these days? Is it the software engineer who designs ways for others to cut CO2? Or is it the builder who installs solar panels? Or is it perhaps the farmer who slashes methane emissions? Or is it all of the above? The Nevin Economic Research Institute has published a key report into this, and one of its economists who co-wrote the report is Paul Goldrick Kelly. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, Paul. You break down green jobs into three categories. Can you run them briefly through it for us?
Thanks for that. And that introduction was quite useful in this regard. You can think in terms of this classification in three different types. The most familiar to listeners might be the idea of this new and emerging occupations. These are new roles that are created with unique green skills. So that'll be things like the wind power engineer. That's a very kind of specific job created by green transition. A second category, and you can imagine this sort of going outwards in terms of greenness to more or less green, there's the green enhanced skills category, and that's referring to occupations where the job title may remain the same, but a lot of the content of the job in terms of its tasks and skills will need some adjustments. You'll need some upskilling in there. You can think of some electricians who might need to be upskilled to deal with, you know, new solar panel installation, something like that, or even somebody working on electric vehicles. And then finally, and this would be more indirectly green, you can think of increased demand occupations where the skills and content of those jobs aren't really going to change much, but there might be significant new demand for those kind of roles. Think bus or coach drivers, if we're emphasizing green public transport, for example. Mm. So between those sort of three, you get more or less green, and you'll also, of course, we get into this in the report, you'll get different estimates depending on what you focus on.
Now, it does imply that some employers and certainly some employees are mislabeling themselves. They might be saying on their CV that they are in the green economy, but they're kind of in greenish.
Greenish might be the way to look at it. I mean, part of the reason that it's approached in the literature this way is that they see it's insufficient. Some of these, we get into this a bit more in the report, but typically a lot of the stats that you'll see that are kind of cross-country will be very restrictive in what they identify as a green job, basically based on what the company produces or what industry they're in. And that'll give you very low estimates. But this approach also sort of highlights the fact that for many people, this is about kind of upskilling on the job and a little bit of a change to the task content. But that's really the major impact of greening on our labor market.
Yeah, and I note in your report that age plays a key role in the greenness of your job.
Indeed, yeah. So even within those categories, that core green category that I referred to earlier, the green new and emerging occupations, that was the youngest age category by distance, followed by that green induced demand, and green enhanced skills was the oldest category that we looked at there, although a lot of that was driven by the fact that farmers are included in that. So it's specific occupations within that broad classification are kind of what drive numbers upwards.
Yeah, and so the older you are, the less green you might be likely to brand yourself as working in a decarbonizing economy.
Indeed, yeah. And it might point to an issue in terms of upskilling or, you know, bespoke kind of policy response given those facts. It's more about that portion of the report looked at, given this, it's not so much how the workers themselves identify. It's more using this was American and UK developed data and then applying it to Ireland to sort of see who's currently in those jobs and what are their characteristics.
Yep.
So indeed, yeah, those latter categories would tend to be older than that core green, new and emerging class.
Now, we need a kind of a colour palette for some of the jobs out there, because not all green jobs are green. Some are far more brown.
Indeed, yeah. So that's where you can get overlaps, and we point that out in the report. I mean, in a sense, this is intuitive. High emitting sectors would focus on introducing specifically green jobs. So actually, you see many of the highest emitting sectors are also those with the highest proportion of green jobs, if that makes sense. So these things, I mean, it's part of a process of greening. So the growth in green jobs doesn't necessarily translate into lower emissions, although it should do in the long term.
At what point or how many years into the future will most jobs in the economy be regarded as green?
Interesting question. Hard to tell, really. I mean, based on the broadest definition here, where I include the sort of directly green, that green new and emerging, maybe shades of green, that green enhanced skills, and then indirectly green, that increased demand. Something like a quarter of the current labor market can be classified as one shade of green or another. And that sort of, those numbers also sort of reflect what's present internationally. Mm. So, I mean, on a trend, it's gone up by a few percent over the last 10 years. So we might want to speed that up, I should say. So the point at which it'll become an absolute majority, I'm not sure. On current trends, that might be some time.
50 years, 25 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Right, okay. Could be into the future then. So who benefits from reading this report?
I think we drafted this just as a starting point to try and identify these workers. Really, our point here is once you kind of identify their characteristics, and particularly when we look into the second report, things like the skills needs. So it's clear, at least looking at current workers within these sectors, that these jobs typically demand higher skills than is present in the economy as a whole. And so that really has implications for policymakers who might want to craft something. And also it might speak to, if you look at specific occupations within each of these specific sets of skills, greening is not going to look the same everywhere. The skills kind of required for a core green job in terms of a wind energy engineer will be different than that if you're involved in management, or you just require upskilling, or just a sort of a slight change in your skills profile to do something like insulation. But all of these elements of the green transition are important. We shouldn't just think of the green transition as a few kind of engineering graduates. It really is a broad-based phenomenon.
And do you get a sense from your research that companies and governments have set aside enough for skills training and retraining in the decarbonized world?
It's hard to, because now that would be a fascinating piece of further research to sort of build on this to look at the trend. But at least inferring really from that finding of greater skills demand, the fact that we need to really accelerate this, and these skills, these jobs tend to demand higher skills than is typical for the economy, would suggest no, that we'd need more skills development, particularly on the job skills development, to push, right, push greening in that respect.
Thanks, Paul. That's Paul Goldrick Kelly from the Nevin Economic Research Institute, or NERI.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.